This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 34. We're going to get our cash flow diaries. What's up, everybody? We got Jay Massey from Cash Flow Diaries on the line today. We're going to learn about his struggle and how he went from a 390 credit score all the way up to a multi-million dollar real estate empire. So let's get right into this. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Now, yeah, probably one of the most inspiring backstories I've heard as far as leading into your real estate investment business. Can you take us back and share with us how you actually got started investing in real estate?
Sure. I can totally do that. Before I do, though, one thing I want to say is that I know there's someone out there who's hoping that, you know, real estate will work for them in some way, shape, or form, or you're feeling down. And I just want to say, if nothing else, please hear this. Your story is not over. In fact, it's just beginning. And that's how real estate was, you know, for me. A few years ago, my wife and I, I was a financial planner and my wife was recruiting. And then over time, what happened is she got pregnant. We had a miscarriage. That wasn't great. Got pregnant again. And this is where all of these things come together really, really fast. When she's pregnant, she has a condition known as hyperemesis. What that means is that she can't eat or drink while pregnant. That's basically what it means. So that was pretty challenging, to say the least. And I was stressed, so I went to go play volleyball. And while playing volleyball, I jumped and I landed on a guy's head, punctured my lung, and then I could not walk and talk simultaneously without fainting. So that sets the stage of how we get into real estate investing, because we got into real estate investing as a solution to the problem. The problem was, with her on bed rest and me unable to work, there was no income. If we did not work, we did not eat. And that became a problem really, really, really fast. And we needed a solution. And a friend said, hey, you should become a real estate investor, which made no sense whatsoever, because at the time we had a credit score of 398. We couldn't put $75 together. And so that everyone is clear, we were making decisions, hey, do we pay the electric bill or do we buy food? Those were the decisions that we were making. And he was like, you should become a real estate investor. And you got to kind of wonder sometimes. But I looked at him and I'm just like, okay, you realize, like, we barely have a place to stay. We're dodging the sheriff so that we don't get kicked out. And what you're telling me is you want me to go provide housing for other people. He's like, yep. I'm like, okay.
Time to dive in.
What does that mean? Yeah, right. That's exactly what happened. So we went down this path, started learning, you know, techniques that allow you to buy and sell houses really, really quickly using none of your own money or credit. That then turned into, hey, if I could do it one house at a time, can I do it for 10, 20, 30 houses at a time? And then how could I keep some of these houses? And then it became, hey, I wonder if I could raise capital and do apartment buildings. And so now, you know, we've got a portfolio of apartment buildings, commercial real estate, cell phone tower, et cetera. And that's, you know, just before we started talking today, I was looking at a self-storage facility. So I just came back from that.
See, this is amazing. And when did this begin? Was this pre-08 when you got started, or?
No. June 18th of 08 was the day I closed on my first real estate transaction. So in the middle, and this is one of the first lessons I want everybody to write down. I mean, if you're driving, stop, you know, pull over to the road, write this down. If you're doing dishes, stop for a second, just write this down really quickly and remember it everywhere you go. Next time you look at the newspaper or watch the news, where there is chaos, there is cash flow. So we started in 08, June, middle of chaos.
Absolute chaos. But yep.
There was cash flow. It was in the streets. It was everywhere. You just had to change your perspective in order to be able to package it such that. Remember, when you're reading the newspaper or watching the news, their job is to sell newspapers and eyeballs on their TV and commercials. So they're not trying to tell you anything in a positive light. That doesn't do that for us. So you got to learn how to look at a headline that says 500 laid off company closing as, oh, that's a great opportunity, because it is, especially if you know what I mean when about using self-directed retirement plans and raising private capital. You got to look at, ooh, company closing as, oh, there's another great opportunity because that company may be closing, but they're probably going somewhere else for a reason. And the building they're leaving is probably about to be for sale. So, you know, you just got to learn how to look at those things in a different way. And that's what we did. That's how we began to find opportunity.
That's amazing. I want to circle back a little bit too, just with your story and how you got started there. There really is no excuse to not go out there and take action on this. I mean, you were really down on your luck at this point, and you went out and you made things happen, and you built what it sounds like a multi-million dollar empire, what, 7 years later?
Yeah, I guess. I hadn't really thought about the time frame as much, but we've raised tens of millions of dollars. We've done tens of millions of transactions, but that's not the point. It's the perspective that we now have. It's the understanding that we now have. More importantly, I often tell people, look, if you have a place to stay, because we were squatting in bank-owned property at the time, if you have a place to stay and your spouse isn't about to die tonight, you know what you're going to eat today, you have the ability to walk and talk simultaneously without fainting, then you're ahead of where I was starting from. And I didn't have a real estate background or anything, so I had to learn all the same stuff you've got to learn on top of all of those other stresses. And, you know, needless to say, I have four children, so I had that responsibility too. So we're talking wife, kids, no income, trying to figure out what to eat, and learn real estate investing at the same time.
And it's huge, and you pulled it off here. And I think first investments for most people standing on the sideline, that's the scariest thing to them. And I know it's been a while for you, but can you walk us through some of your first investments and how you got through them?
Yeah, the very first one was a subject to deal. So I went out there and when I found this out, I was like, I can't believe this actually worked. We just took over the payments from someone who had a mortgage or a property that was vacant. She was using it as a rental property. And it was, here's the funniest part. the owner was in foreclosure, and here I am squatting in bank-owned property. So I make an offer to someone who's in foreclosure or pre-foreclosure, I should say, saying that, hey, how about I take over the payments on that mortgage for you? You want to talk about mind altering, but that's exactly what we did. And then we found the tenant, we found the contractor to rehab it. We just set out to find all the people. One of the greatest gifts that I think I was given was I am mechanically disinclined. I have trouble with staplers. So I knew from the beginning, if I was going to make this real estate thing work, I needed, bar none, I had no choice but to find other people to do certain tasks. I knew that from the beginning. So I was never under any delusion that I was going to collect my own rent, rehab my own building, find my own. I was never under any delusion that I had to do that. I just knew that I had to put the deal together and find the people who could do all the other, the intricate parts and make it work. And that's what we did. And I relied on them and it all came together. And that's still kind of what we do today.
Oh, that's huge right there. Because a lot of people, I think they have the mindset of, I'm going to do everything myself and keep all the money, and it just burns them out. And you took it from a different perspective and actually built the business on your very first deal just by not knowing and saying, hey, I have to put these systems in place and build this here.
Yeah, I was, like I said, it was I don't know if it was a gift or a curse or whatever, but it was the only way I knew it was going to happen. I knew if it depended upon me to learn how to hold a hammer correctly or drive a nail or figure out a caulking gun or versus a staple gun, it wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen. And I needed people who knew how to do it. They're everywhere. I mean, people know what's in Home Depot. I don't need to know. There are other people who need to know that. That's what's important.
So you screened them out. You put the right people in place. You flipped your first deal. Where did we go from there?
Well, here's the crazy thing. I'm standing. I remember closing on that deal, holding the deed, going, do they know that I'm in, like, I'm squatting in bank-owned property? And it didn't matter. Because, I mean, you got to understand, there's so many paradigm shifts that are happening on that day. Because we've all been told, we all know why something won't work. Everybody is quick to expound upon their knowledge about, you can't do that, and here's why it won't work, and this is what I know. You don't know jack unless you actually tried it and it didn't work, period.
Right.
Experiment. Go figure it out. And after that, I was open for anything. So I was like, well, if that's not true, what about this next thing? And so 3 weeks later, We ended up doing 11 more transactions. And that's literally what happened. It was like, wow, okay, let's do that again. And that's what just started happening. I just started doing wholesaling over and over and over again. We did a few hundred of those until I realized one day, hey, I'm selling these houses. I get paid once, but the people keeping them, maybe there's something to that idea. So we had to figure out, we had to change your game up a little bit and figure out how to keep some and sell some and keep some and sell some. And now today, primarily, we keep most of what we go out there to go buy, and we syndicate the capital and let investors participate that way.
Oh, that's huge there. You really did hit the ground running there. 11 deals right off the bat. Which takes me to my next question for you. Obviously, comfort zones aren't something in your vocabulary, and that's what prevents a lot of investors from growing, myself included. You know, you hit a certain level and you get comfortable and you stop pushing to the next level. What are some strategies you use to just continue growing your business?
Oh, okay. I'm glad you said continue growing, because those are, I was going to say, there's two different things you got to remember. For most people considering real estate, and I say most people, real estate is it would be nice to if I could. For us, it was, if you don't, you will not eat. Right. You operate from two completely different mindsets when it's if you don't, you will not eat, versus it would be nice to one day, oh, I can take my time and yay, I got a property. That's a completely different mindset. To keep growing, the secret, and I talk about this on like pages 92 to 94 inside my book about the concept of pain. When our reality and our desire, what we're currently living versus what we currently want, are too close together, there's not enough pain caused or induced that gets us to inspire ourselves to action. So you say, well, Jay, I don't want my reality to get worse. I just want to be able to do more. Well, great. Then you have to learn how to ask for more. And so much so that you believe you can get it. And then so much so that it begins to cause you pain and you get upset that you do not yet have it. Then you'll be in the position to induce the pain necessary so that you can go give birth to the business that's lying inside of you.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate you sharing on that. Now, here's something that I really want your take on. You know, virtual investing is a huge thing right now. And I had read that you have successfully invested in 8 different states. How do you keep, you know, track of your feet on the ground and keep everybody in check so they're staying honest with you and not stealing from you?
Got it. Let's first preface that by saying I've been stolen from. So let's go there.
It's almost good to hear, you know?
I don't think I've got some sort of perfect record. No one does. In fact, I was just thinking about this at lunch. Anyone with a perfect record, I actually wouldn't feel comfortable with, because it just means they're due for something.
Right.
You know, something's going to happen. But at the end of the day, you got to understand that we have an internal team, or what I call an internal team, and there's the external team. Now, the external team is anyone not directly on your payroll. These are the property managers, the contractors, all the stuff that you hear about in the seminars and whatnot. I actually have and maintain an internal team. So I have an internal person who is my CFO, or the company CFO for the global enterprise. Then I have an operations person. In fact, we have two now. And we obviously have an executive assistant, et cetera. And then when we're in heavy construction phases, we will hire a construction manager, if you will, who's usually a retired building inspector, but he's on our side of the deal. And he ends up working with the operations person and CFO to put together the budgets, draw schedules, et cetera, that we need in order to, and he does all the hiring and firing of the GCs and whatnot in that particular state or city. So those internal people, because they're on your payroll, have the incentive to watch out for their job, i.e. the company's best interest. And when you learn to work with that team the way that it's structured, a lot of those things that you're talking about, they just don't happen. So, and then we always hire a local property management. So, for one of our buildings, right, we have 182 unit right now. And that particular one, we have an on-site person, a couple of maintenance people. And those on-site people and the maintenance people are overseen by local third-party management And then that local third-party management reports to our operations person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice. So you have several sets of eyes watching out for everybody to make sure everybody's on track and there's no nonsense going on, or minimal at least.
Yeah. I if something major happens, i.e. that actually requires, I mean, you know, I'm not going to get a phone call for like, hey, the sink broke. But if something major happens, I'll know within a few hours, no matter where I am in the world.
Nice. Good to hear.
And most of the time, the team is in place to have already rectified it. So, for example, when I hear about, by the time I've heard about something, it's only been a few hours old, and I'm usually also being told, here's what we've done to resolve it or begin the resolution. And we just wanted to make sure that you knew, and if you have anything else you wanted to add, let us know. That's typically where it is today. So they're not looking to me for the answer because I don't want to be that guy. I want them to feel empowered to make answers or to make decisions up to a certain dollar amount and be able to actually resolve the issue. And that's what we've managed to do now. And that's why we can span so many different locations.
That's a really impressive system you have there. How long did it take for you to actually get these systems in place so you could be in the position that you're in right now?
I would say up 3 to 5, so that would be 4 years.
All right. Still growing.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Because now we have what I would like to term as excess capacity. As you go through all of the things that we've been through, we all got smarter. We all got better. We all learned a ton of things. And now because we're better, we can actually handle more. And we actually could probably take on another, I'd say, 200 to 300 units, no issues,
wow,
with no issue.
Now, most of these buildings you're doing, are you actually getting conventional financing on top of private money, or are you bringing in all private money to put these together?
I've never used a bank, I didn't know that that was something that was good, to be honest with you, when I started. I just didn't have, that wasn't an option. Remember, credit score was 398. So I had to figure out a way to not use a bank, to be very creative in every one of my deal structures. And we've not used any sort of conventional money as of this moment. Now that could change, especially as the deal gets bigger. As the deals get bigger, you know, when you start asking for $2 million and $5 million or something like that at a time, it just changes our capital stack and structures that we tend to use. And, you know, there are certain other things that you want to do. But at the end of the day, using a bank is not... In fact, I still tell people, it's serious, I actually don't know how to fill out a 1003. So, I don't do the bank loan thing.
No, I'm glad you shared all that there. We talk a lot about raising private money over here, and, you know, there's no bank financing in what we're doing over in our market either. So I'm happy to hear that you can get as big as you can and continue to grow raise private money to go in on these bigger commercial ventures as well.
Well, of course. I mean, you're solving a different problem. The challenge is you just got to be clear on who you're solving it for at the end of the day. I mean, there's trillions, and I mean trillions with a T, and if you can actually visualize how many zeros that is, good on you. But there's trillions of dollars sitting in retirement plans that's being underutilized, and there's probably just as many trillions sitting in certificates of depression, also known as certificates of deposit, you know? So either way it goes, both of those asset classes or containers, if you will, are underperforming, but most people don't have a alternative. They don't know of an alternative. And I find this to be true across most real estate investors, which is sad, but true. For some reason, we forget real estate investing is still a business. Well, because if I said, hey, let's do a startup, all of a sudden, everybody thinks investors and marketing and sales and all this other stuff. But as soon as I say, hey, let's do real estate investing, everyone wants to go straight to Home Depot and know what, you know, kind of, you know, paint to use, or, you know, what kind of flooring should we use? Is it epoxy? You know, I'm like, come on, man. It's still a business. And we must market. We must understand that we are fundamentally solving a problem. Now, we happen to solve a ton of problems every time we do a transaction. That's why we get compensated the way we do, is because we're providing so much value to so many different types of people simultaneously inside a transaction. And we get compensated appropriately for doing that. That's really what we're talking about. And when you're raising capital, you're just solving a problem for a different person in a different way. You just happen to be using real estate. And let's get real. Very few people, myself included, actually, quote unquote, love real estate. It's not real estate that you love. It's the benefits real estate provides that we all enjoy. That's what we're after. I mean, if spoons produced the same benefits as real estate, we'd be on the phone right now talking about spoons.
That's so true. We've heard that come up a couple times on the show from different investors. It's all about the benefits. You're absolutely right. And with as much investing as that you've done over the years, what do you consider the most passive form of real estate investing?
Notes.
Now, these self-done notes that you're funding, or are you actually purchasing notes?
We've done both. Either way it goes, notes bore the tar out of me. They are the most boring money on the planet. So whether you are carrying purchase money mortgages or you're buying discounted paper, and let me be very clear. We tend to do first position performing only. So that's just our world. Obviously, if you go into the non-performing world, then you've got more work to do, and they probably wouldn't be as boring to me. But the most boring money on the planet is notes, period. But it's there, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when you're younger, you still want something to do during the day, you know? And you can only stare at your kids before they're like, "Dad, go somewhere, do something," you know, that type of thing. So at the end of the day, I was craving something else to do, and that's kind of how all this stuff got started.
Nice. Now, I mean, you shared a tremendous amount with us here, and we like to close it out with giving the listeners some action steps so they could truly get started today. Can you give us a few steps so the newbie can go out there and start taking action today as an investor?
Yeah, the first thing is adopt this first mindset. Start before you're ready. That period. I know you're like, but I need all these things. No, you don't. You need to open your mouth and build a database, number one. Number two, move at the speed of instruction. If you're feeling that anxiety just from listening to this episode and you know who you are, you're like, man, I know I need to do those things. Cool. By the time this episode is done, start doing them. You know there's a person you've been meaning to call and they've been on your chicken list for far too long. Pick up the phone, call them. Pick up the newspaper, call that next for sale by owner. Call somebody, look for a property, open your mouth and ask. And here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you right now the 10 most powerful words I know to begin building your database. It's very simple. It's, have you ever considered getting involved in real estate investing? Go ask that question to 50 different people, and you will see and put yourself in a completely different deal flow, completely different investor flow in the next 7 days, if you're brave enough to do it. Once you've done that, you will have more people. Usually, the people who I get to do that exercise end up with more business and people to talk to than they want or have the ability to handle. But that's good. Now you're in the game. And you'll be well on your way to making use of a number of those books and tapes and CDs and seminars that you've gone and listened to. And you'll be closer, that much closer to actually writing an offer.
That's huge. I hope that the listeners actually do take action on it. If you do, please reach out to us and let us know that you did and the results. Jay, this has been huge. I really appreciate your time. Where is the best place we could connect with you at?
You got a number of options. For those of you who like listening to podcasts, obviously, that's, you know, you guys. You can go to cashflowdiarypodcast.com. We have a little over 150 episodes now that are there of a number of different topics, number of different entrepreneurs. We talk cash flow. That's our thing. That's what we talk about. That's what we do. For those of you that like to read a little bit, you know, here's a complimentary copy of my book, Cashflow Diary, 10 Steps to Creating Wealth in Any Economy. You can go download it immediately. All you got to do is send a text message to 72,000, 72,000. The keyword is book, B-O-O-K, cash flow, and then you'll be able to put in your details and you'll be able to go ahead and get that happen. For those of you who happen to be international, you can just go to cashflowdiary.com/freebook. And the same offer is sitting there for you. But those are two good ways for you to get started. Costs you nothing but time, but now it's time for you to move at the speed of instruction and see what you'll do.
Thank you so much for the giveaways there. We're going to link to all that in the show notes for you. Thank you so much for your time, Jay.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at MichaelAlder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody, thanks, and let's take action today.